Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 14th, 2025, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. Therefore, open the Word of God to Zechariah chapter 4. We're right in the middle of the eight visions given to Zechariah. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the September-October 2025 Israel My Glory from the Friends of Israel, they spent most of this edition looking at a prophet called Zechariah. And this article is by Randall Price. Israel faces the nations like a divine magnet. Jerusalem will someday draw all the Gentile nations to fight against it, to their great detriment. Face the Nation, one of the longest running news programs in the history of American television, from 1954 to the present, informs its viewers concerning political issues and public affairs by having those it interviews face the nation, the American public. Today, Israel faces the nations as it struggles for its existence among adversarial countries all over the world. We witness this struggle as we hear questions like, why does the Middle East conflict seem so unsolvable? And why are Israel and the Jewish people under a global attack of anti-Semitism, with calls for their destruction? And why is Jerusalem such a problem? The answers to these questions cannot be found in any news program, but they can be found in the millennia-old prophecies of the Jewish prophet Zechariah in his account of when Israel faces the nations. The prophet called his news a burden, Zechariah 12, verse 1. The Hebrew term is masa, which means pronouncement, which describes oracles concerning future events. In this case, the masa foretells Israel's experience in the day of the Lord, and specifically, the Gentile powers' global attack on Jerusalem during the last half of the yet future 70th week of Daniel, the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24:21. The world's final solution. Zechariah 12:2 describes a siege against the city of Jerusalem and its greater territory of Judah. Siege warfare is one of the most terrifying in military history. Surrounded by an enemy with no escape and trapped to suffer starvation, the inhabitants' only recourse is to wait for the walls to be breached and to fight to the death. The only hope for those under siege comes from without. A deliverance is sent to them from afar. Zechariah predicted just such a glorious day of deliverance for Israel by the Lord, but only after first proclaiming the grim report of Israel being ravaged by the nations. From Jerusalem, the Jews are destined to rule the world under their Messiah. And consequently, the world, now under Satan's rule, is determined to destroy Jerusalem and the Jewish people. Satan's plan of the hour is to destroy all Jews from the face of the earth. That is his plan. And I know everybody's talking about president, and by the way, our president, Donald Trump, and Prime Minister Netanyahu is 100% right on this. No president in the history of the United States has helped the nation Israel more than Donald Trump. No president in the history of our nation. And that's the good news. God has promised, Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And if we survive here at this time, that's going to be one of the main reasons right there. Of course, half the people in this country attack our president as being evil and Nazi. Anybody who's a conservative, half the people in this country call you a Nazi. You're the enemy. I'm the enemy to half the people in this country. You are the enemy unless you think like they do. You're the enemy. Any believer who believes in Jesus Christ as the living and true God, that the Bible is the absolute truth of the Word of God, you're the enemy. I'm the enemy. And if the other people get in power, that our president, this is his last time through, and the others get in power, why, you and me will be rounded up and put in prison. And they'll come in here and they'll say, they'll come get me. And then they'll ask you, do you know, are you with this guy? And some of you got a choice. You can say, oh, no, I don't like that guy, frankly. I come here, but I don't like him. I don't believe what he says. I just come in here and find out. But if you say, oh, yes, I'm with him 100%, well, you'll be in prison too. And not to worry. Not to worry. When we get into prison, I will lead you all in singing some hymns. And when we start singing hymns, they will let us out. They don't want to go through that. Just as the Holocaust was the Nazis' final solution to the Jewish question in the past, the campaigns of Armageddon will be the world's final solution during the future tribulation. It will be nothing less than a satanic attempt to annihilate the Jewish remnant to forestall the second coming of Christ. Yet it will be this very attempt that will bring Israel's Messiah back to Jerusalem and rescue his people. However, these verses indicate concern not only for God's people, but also for God's land, the center of which is Jerusalem. The Lord is particularly enraged by the Gentile nations' failure to recognize that Israel is His holy land, and that the city of Jerusalem is His chosen dwelling place forever. Psalm 132, 13 to 18. Jerusalem belongs to God Himself. It is the city of the great King. Psalm 48:2, Matthew 5:35. To attack it is to attack God Almighty Himself and His purpose to reign as King on earth during the millennium. Psalm 2:6, Psalm 146:10, Isaiah 24:23, Micah 4:7, Luke 1:33, Revelation 11:15. Therefore, it is against the God of Israel that these nations fight. They're fighting God. Psalm 2:2, Isaiah 34:2, Zechariah 14:3, Revelation 16:14, Revelation 17:14, Revelation 19:11 to 21. And then the last paragraph, the divine magnet. In Zechariah 12, verse 3, we first hear the fearful announcement to Jerusalem that all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Although the focus here is the nations, we must remember that Bible prophecy is not concerned with international affairs, except as they relate to the nation Israel. And to the Jewish people and to its land. In other words, the entire global community of Gentile powers is of no real consequence apart from the role it plays in God's program for Israel. In verses 2 and 3, God declares His divine purpose to make Jerusalem an intoxicating influence in order to gather all the nations against it, despite the fact that doing so will bring about their ruin. This prophecy explains why Jerusalem has been and will continue to be a divine magnet drawing the great iron-willed nations toward this tiny spot on earth. It also explains why every attempt by the nations to solve the Middle East conflict has failed over the issue of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's status has always been a problem and will remain so until God's ultimate plan to destroy the global defiance of His program for Israel, centered in Jerusalem, is fulfilled. And what better place for this feat to take place than in Jerusalem itself? God will allow the deceiving spirits of demons to lure the kings of the earth together to do battle, Revelation 16, verse 14, believing themselves capable of destroying the Jewish people, they will find themselves caught in the trap that God has prepared for them, and they will all be destroyed in the battle of Armageddon. We got all that coming up in Zechariah. That's in chapter 12. We're in chapter 4. We'll be in chapter 12 10 years from now. Well, I'm glad you have a sense of humor. I'm a plotter. I believe that the Bible is the God-breathed scriptures. But what's God-breathed are the original autographs, the Hebrew, the Koine Greek, the Aramaic, not the translations in an English translation. That's not the God-breathed scriptures. It's the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Koine Greek. And I teach it line by line, word by word, exactly what God the Holy Spirit put down there. He put it down there to communicate truth. And today, it's hard to even find a place where a man with the gift of pastor teacher can prepare for the ministry and learn the languages. We're commanded, if you have the gift of pastor teacher, you're commanded to prepare for the ministry. What is that preparation? Learning languages. Languages. And I was told that by two pastors I respect to the nth degree. Colonel Thiem. He came to us at Dallas Seminary and said, "You guys, you get all the languages you can get." He braced us all. "You get all the languages you can get." Ron Breckel, a graduate of Dallas Seminary as well. And he took me aside before I left for Dallas Seminary. And he said, "Dick, when you're there, you get all the languages you can get." And I listened to those. Those are the two greatest pastors that this nation has had. And I listened to them. And when I went to Dallas Seminary, I majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek. And took every language class I could take. I had great, great professors in Greek and Hebrew. And I have a fellow, S. Lewis Johnson, a friend of Colonel Thiem. He's a good friend of Colonel Thiem. Every time the Colonel came for a Bible conference, he would have lunch with S. Lewis Johnson. He wanted to know how were his boys doing at seminary. But I was in S. Lewis Johnson's class, and we were studying, Romans or Ephesians or something in the Greek. And somebody raised their hand,
Dr. Johnson, what's a good commentary I can get on this that we're studying here? S. Lewis Johnson didn't smile. He didn't smile. He just looked out there. He goes, okay, that would be Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's what you where you need to go. Not buying a commentary. Studying the God-breathed scriptures, that's where you're going to get it. You need that. But you know today, that's non-existent among 99% of communicators that stand behind pulpits. And it's sad. We're in the dark ages in America. Spiritually, we're in the dark ages. And by the way, Sunday, with Bob Wilkin here from Grace Evangelical Society, that was some of the best teaching you will get. And we had people that didn't even show up. Inerrancy. Most of the seminaries in this country, including Dallas Seminary, Fuller Seminary, most of the seminaries do not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. They don't. And so they don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, and then they always say, well, you know, God didn't really say this. We can't believe the Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We can't believe miracles. We can't believe miracles. Like when I went, we had a gal in here, one of the widows, Jean Peacock. Jean Peacock. This church was blessed by association with Jean Peacock. And she came out to our house, and I had all these animals I loved to hunt. Had all these animals up on the wall. But there was a niche in the wall with nothing there. She goes, Pastor Olson, there's nothing in that niche. What are you going to put there? I said, well, I've been putting in for an elk tag for years and years and years. I've never gotten drawn. She goes, oh, not to worry. I'm going to start praying that you get an elk tag. You will get an elk tag. And I did. I got an elk tag that year. And then she said, I said, I got the elk tag. She says, not only that, you're going to get an elk. You're going to get a trophy bull elk. What? Oh, all right. And I had a guide that was guiding me. And I always give anybody that I go hunting with, I give them the gospel if I don't know if they're saved or not. I gave them the gospel. And I explained what Christ did on the cross for him. And the sins of the whole world. And my guide said, your sins were poured out on Christ and judged by. He paid the penalty for your sins. He did all the work for you to have salvation. All you have to simply do, simply, is believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And we're driving along. He said, well, you know, I think I could believe that. I said, well. He said, but now, just a second. You don't believe in Noah and the ark. I said, you know what? The Bible tells us that God never lies. God never lies. It's the Word of God. It's the mind of Christ. It's the voice of the Spirit. God never lies. And He says, Noah existed. Genesis chapter 6 is true. It's absolutely true. Yes, I believe Noah and the ark. Yes, I believe there was a worldwide flood. The whole world was underwater. Everyone died except for 8 people. Yes, I believe that just as much as I believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I believe that just as much. And I believe the animals came 2 by 2 into the ark. And by the way, in case you want to know, they found the ark right where God said it would be. up on Mount Ararat. They found the ark. They've seen it several times. Well, he said, no way I'm going to believe that. Well, at 11,000 feet, I harvested my trophy bull elk, 11,000 feet. Well, it was so steep, he called in a whole team of guys to get that elk off the mountain. We were waiting for him. So we're sitting there, and there's my trophy bull laying there, and we're talking, and God set this all up. God did this. My guide looked over, he goes, "Oh, look, a fossil of a fish." And he picked it up, a fossil of a fish. I said, "Can you believe that? 11,000 feet and a fossil of a fish at 11,000 feet. And he found it. I didn't find it. And I said, "Noah." And his jaw just, "Noah." He changed. He changed right there. That night we got back, I took him out to dinner, and I bought him dinner. And we're sitting there, he goes, "Pastor Olson," he said, "of all of the hunting I have guided, this is the most unique of anyone that I've ever guided, ever." And he said, "I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me about what the Bible says about these things." And I never ask anybody, did you believe in Christ? I never do that. I just give them the truth, and then they can do whatever they want to do with it. But I think that when I get to heaven, he's going to be up there guiding me on hunts in heaven. And what will we go hunting for? Cats. Any cats that are up there. We're going to get those and eliminate those from. All dogs go to heaven, but all cats, well, there's other places to go. All right, well, we're in Zechariah. And we have 8 visions that were given to Zechariah. We've studied the first 4. The vision number 1, the vision of the red horse rider among the myrtle trees, chapter 1, 7 to 17. Vision number 2, the vision of the 4 horns and the 4 horn cutters, chapter 1, 18 to 21. Vision number 3, the vision of the surveyor with the measuring line, chapter 2. Vision number 4, the vision of the cleansing and crowning of Joshua the high priest, chapter 3. And now we're in vision number 5, the vision of the gold lampstand and the 2 olive trees, Zechariah chapter 4. So let's look at the corrected translation of Zechariah 4, 1 through 4. "Now the angel who talked with me came back, and he caused to wake me as a man who is wakened out of sleep." He is mentally whipped, Zechariah, with all these visions. "And he asked me, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I am looking, and behold, there is a solid gold lampstand with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. Also, there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left.' Then I answered and said to the angel," the teaching angel who was speaking with me, "I said, 'What are these, my Lord?'" Now, I love the fact that he used the word Adonai as he talked to this teaching angel. Zechariah has the greatest humility and the greatest respect for this teaching angel. So he addresses him as Adonai, my Lord. Now, let's summarize that. 1,
The question, what are these, refers specifically to the two olive trees. The question, what are these, refers specifically to the two olive trees. Two, this question will be answered at the end of chapter 4 in verses 12 to 14. This question will be answered at the end of chapter 4 in verses 12 to 14. Three, it refers to two leaders. The spiritual leader and the political leader of this remnant that has returned to Jerusalem in Zechariah's day. It refers to two leaders, the spiritual leader and the political leader of this remnant that has returned to Jerusalem in Zechariah's day. Four, the spiritual leader is Joshua the high priest. Five, the political leader is Zerubbabel. So the spiritual leader is Joshua the high priest, the political leader is Zerubbabel. You know what I love about Zechariah? He is so honest. So honest. Right up front. Point six, you have to realize what you do not know before you can learn. You have to realize what you do not know before you can learn. Seven, Zechariah is honest. I don't understand this. He didn't try to snow the teaching angel. He didn't guess. He just doesn't understand this. Eight, Zechariah is a great prophet, but in total honesty, he tells the teaching angel, Adonai, Lord, I don't understand what this means. Zechariah is a great prophet, but in total honesty, he tells the teaching angel, Adonai, Lord, I don't understand what this means. Nine, every believer has to have a teacher. You can't read the Bible on your own and grow. Impossible for you to read the Bible on your own and grow. Every believer has to have a teacher. And Zechariah has a teacher. Zechariah's teacher is this teaching angel. 10. Zechariah does not understand how this applies to his day. Here they are under the decree of Cyrus, under the decree of Darius Hystaspes. They have returned to Israel, returned to Jerusalem, and these two winner believers in Persia, they are sending them back specifically to rebuild the temple because they know that the living and true God, Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, will be living in that holy of holies of the temple. That's why they're sending them back. And then verse 5. He, the teaching angel, answered,
Zechariah asked a question. Now, have you ever had somebody answer you with another question when you ask a question? Well, that's what the teaching angel said. He, the teaching angel, answered, "Do you not know what these are?" That's what I said. No, and then he goes, "No, Adonai, no, my Lord," I replied. So in verse 4, Zechariah asked the teaching angel, "What are these, my Lord?" Now in verse 5, the teaching angel answered the question with a question. "Do you not know what these are?" Zechariah responded, "No, Adonai, my Lord, I don't." And this will not be answered until the end of the chapter. The two olive trees represent the spiritual leader and the political leader of the remnant that returned to Jerusalem in Zechariah's day. The spiritual leader being Joshua the high priest, the political leader is Zerubbabel. In Zechariah chapter 3, the last chapter, the teaching was unto Joshua the high priest, the spiritual leader. Now in chapter 4, the teaching is to Zerubbabel, the political leader, who is facing a mountain of opposition, satanic opposition. Satan doesn't want them to rebuild the temple. And he's trying his hardest to prevent that. He, the teaching angel, answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. And now one of the most powerful verses anywhere in the Word of God. And this is so powerful. This verse is in the nation Israel. When they came back to their land, they had this verse when they came back. And when in the Knesset, their parliament, there's a menorah, and they have this verse there. This is one of the most powerful verses in the Word of God that presents the grace and power of God. Not anything to do with the ability of the Jewish people. Had nothing to do. This wasn't rebuilt by the ability of the Jewish people. It was rebuilt by the grace and the power of God the Holy Spirit. And only by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit. So that when it was completed, they all got together and they sang grace, grace, grace. They probably sang Amazing Grace. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, we have the Kal imperfect of Ana with the Vav conversive and the with the Kal imperfect of Amer and the Vav conversive, plus the preposition Al with the first person singular suffix, plus the Kal infinitive construct of Amer repeated. The Vav is an explanatory Vav and is correctly translated so. Also, the Vav conversive converts the imperfect of Ana and the imperfect of Amer into a perfect. And therefore, it's correctly translated. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said. And then the preposition L with the first person singular suffix. To me, Zechariah. And then we have, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying. Okay, we have the demonstrative pronoun ze, plus the construct of davar, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, plus the preposition el, joined by a makef to the proper noun Zerubbabel, plus the Kal infinitive construct of Amer repeated. The demonstrative pronoun ze means this. And then we have Davar Jehovah. Davar plus the tetragrammaton. And that's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. And then the preposition El Zerubbabel to Zerubbabel, the political leader. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And now we have this fantastic and powerful principle of the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. Now, God is one in essence, three in personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have the very same essence, very same attributes. And here the spotlight is on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, and on his omnipotence. He is the all-powerful God. And this temple was rebuilt, not by the Jews, not by human ability, but by the omnipotence, the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit. And they knew this when it was finished. They knew this was God the Holy Spirit, his grace and his power. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to this remnant of believers that have come back to the land. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the negative lo, plus the preposition beth, prefixed to the noun kayil, plus the, and we've had that, kayil, before, plus the conjunction vav, prefixed to the negative lo, plus the preposition beth, prefixed to the noun koach, plus the conjunction ki with the conjunction im, joined by a makef to the preposition beth, prefixed to the noun ruach, with the first person singular suffix. You're always in danger down here when we get to some of these Hebrew. That's how a good Jew is there. Ruach. Plus the verb amer, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the plural of the noun tsava, which is tsevaoth. Jehovah tsevaoth. All right. The objective negative lo. L-O, Aleph, lo. And lo slams the door. You translate it, absolutely not. That's how you translate the objective negative lo. Absolutely not. And then the preposition beth. Be shava. The preposition beth. Now, literally, just generally, it means in. But it has a lot of different nuances. And here, it is used as a preposition of instrument or means. And it's correctly translated by means of. So we have absolutely not by means of. Absolutely not by means of. And then we have chayil. C-H-A-Y-I-L, kayil. Now, kayil means might or strength. But we have studied this in the Bible. We've heard the phrase, givor kayil, mighty men of valor. We've had that several times. Givor kayil, mighty men of valor. So kayil is might. Strength. Lo be kayil, absolutely not by means of might. Absolutely not by means of might. And then the vav prefix to the objective negative lo, correctly translated nor, and then we have the preposition bath again used as an instrumental, by means of, nor by means of koach. K-O-A-C-H, koach. And koach means power. Nor by means of power. And then BDB, Brown, Driver, and Brig, tells us that after a negative, i.e. low, the conjunction key becomes an adversative conjunction and is correctly translated, but, and then we have b'ruach, and that's the preposition beth used as an instrumental, but by means of Ruach. R long U A C H. Now sometimes Ruach can mean breath, and other times it means spirit, and sometimes it's used specifically for the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, and that's how it's used here. And then, Amer Jehovah Tzevaoth, says the Lord of the armies. So, corrected translation. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the political leader. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, says the Lord of the armies. And I think this is so important to the Jewish people. It's so important in their Knesset, their parliament. It's so important when the nation was founded. They understand this totally. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel is in charge of rebuilding the temple. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit says, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. All right, one. The leaders in Israel, the remnant that's come back, the spiritual leaders, political leaders, will have great, great pressure. These leaders of the remnant that came back, Joshua the high priest, the religious leader, Zerubbabel, the political leader, and the one responsible for rebuilding the temple, will have great pressure. Two, we saw in Zechariah chapter 3 that Joshua the high priest had great pressure from the angelic conflict. We saw in Zechariah chapter 3 that Joshua the high priest had great pressure from the angelic conflict. Three, he was accused in heaven by Satan himself as not being qualified to serve the Lord. They were in court, and he was accused in heaven by Satan himself that he was not qualified to serve the Lord as the high priest. If you can't, if the high priest is not qualified, then forget the temple. 4, Zerubbabel, the political leader, also had great pressure. And he faced a mountain of opposition that tried to keep him from rebuilding the temple. Did everything possible to keep him from rebuilding the temple. Five. Zerubbabel, who had laid the foundation of the temple 16 years earlier. 16 years earlier, he laid the foundation of the temple, and then it shut down. It shut down. For 16 years, nothing was done. And there were a lot of Jews. They were back in the land, and they had plenty of time to build really nice big homes, mansions, and the details of life were number one for them right now. Not spiritual priorities. Spiritual priorities were not an issue at all. That was details of life, nice home and everything, you know, your business and all of make money and all these different things, but not spiritual priorities, not God, not the Word of God, not the temple where the living and true God, Jesus Christ, would dwell in the Holy of Holies. That wasn't important at all. And so for 16 years, nothing. All they have is a foundation. So Zerubbabel, who had laid the foundation of the temple 16 years earlier, was now assured in Zechariah 4 verse 6 that the temple would be completed. What a powerful way to dictate that the temple will be completed. Not by you, Zerubbabel. Not by human power or ability. But by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit. So, Zerubbabel, who had laid the foundation of the temple 16 years earlier, was now assured that the temple would be completed. But, absolutely not by might. That means not by human strength, not by human wealth, not by military force. Secondly, absolutely not by any human power. Absolutely not by any human power. And third, but only by means of God the Holy Spirit, the grace and power, the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. 6, the insurmountable difficulties in completing the construction of the temple could only be overcome by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit. The insurmountable difficulties in completing the construction of the temple could only be overcome by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit. Seven, a finished temple would provide irrefutable evidence to Zechariah and to Zerubbabel that God the Holy Spirit and only God the Holy Spirit accomplished the task, not Israel. Make sure you get that. A finished temple would provide irrefutable evidence to Zechariah and Zerubbabel that God the Holy Spirit, and only God the Holy Spirit, accomplished the task, not Israel. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit says, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. All right. Well, this brings us to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the age of Israel. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the age of Israel. And this is fantastic, and this is going to take probably a couple of classes because it's so wonderful. So we're going to stop right here and pick it up with this doctrine. Doctrine of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the age of Israel next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.